If your knees check the weather before you do, time to check out Joint Relief Institute. Fast, FDA-approved pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Our entertainment report, sponsored by JeffBuysYourHouse.com. Let's welcome back Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. How are you, Blake?
Good morning, Wendy. How are you doing? It's great here. I don't know about where you're at, but it's great here.
Where are you?
I'm down in Peoria, Illinois.
Ah, where my brother lives. It's beautiful here. It's been raining so much, and today we have a beautiful sunny day. Hopefully that will dry up everybody's gardens. And it was raining all weekend. It was Father's Day. Did people go see movies?
Boy, did they, Wendy. Let me tell you. So this weekend was a big release. Toy Story 5, one of the long-awaited sequels to, I think we can all agree, is one of the great movie franchises at this point.
Yep.
It debuted with a $160 million domestic debut. But it also took in a total, in counting worldwide, $312 million just in one weekend. So it's safe to say that people are going to the movies. So maybe that rain helped. But I will tell you this. The movie is not only, you know, dominating the box office. It's shattered its own franchise record. It is the biggest opening weekend in the U.S. this year so far. It did surpass the Super Mario Galaxy movie, which, of course, is another big family entertainment to go check out. But for me, the interesting thing is that it's also just pulling in loving critical reviews. So the critics are happy, the fans are happy, and the box office is soaring, which is just great for everybody.
Yeah, when does that happen where everybody is in agreement?
I don't want to say it never happens. I mean, it does happen, but it just feels like, you know, in a post-COVID world, because this summer is shaping up to be the best post-COVID box office season that we have had. There have been some sleeper hits. There have been some franchise successes. But Toy Story 5 is clearly coming out swinging, and it's going to lead the way, I think, with probably not much drop-off over the next few weeks. So, you know, if you didn't see it this weekend, and you were lucky, like myself, full disclosure, I did not get a chance to see this film. But when I do finally see it, I hope spoilers are protected. However, at the same time, I feel like I'm still going to be going and seeing this movie with crowds in the theaters, which is great news.
Well, I loved the original Toy Story. I'm pretty sure I saw 2. I did not see 3 or 4, and I'm hearing from people that 3 was like the best one ever. 4 was a pleasant surprise, and this one is sensational.
This one being sensational, I think, lies within the fact that without any spoilers, everything I've heard about it is that this one really goes back to being all about fun. And the vibe of this movie has really kind of hit with all ages, not just kids or not just adults, which I think when you have a franchise like this and you make 5 entries, there's going to be some that play better to certain age demographics. And if you can crack it open and hit everybody, you're really going to be in for a wild ride in terms of the box office, but also a fun ride for audiences.
And so this obviously number one at the theaters, second and third place.
Second and third place, I believe, this weekend, off the top of my head, I think it goes to Obsession, which still is maintaining a very strong hold, despite being a very low budget film and just taking in hundreds of millions of dollars. And Steven Spielberg's Disclosure Day, which I reviewed last week and very much enjoyed, did have a pretty sharp drop off, but nothing that's considered catastrophic. I think it took in about 17 million. So, I mean, we've got people going to the movies. It's just Toy Story was a juggernaut this particular weekend. So highly would recommend Obsession if you're a horror fan or thriller fan, if you want to get really specific. Definitely recommend Disclosure Day, because it's not summer without Spielberg, if you ask me personally. And then lastly, you know, Toy Story, you can't go wrong. The whole family can go watch that one.
Yeah, so that's great. I never go to the movies, and my husband and I went opening weekend to see Disclosure Day, and I myself enjoyed it very much. So I know it's like some people are saying, nah, it's not there. I loved it. I really did.
I was personally drawn in heavily by it. I think that the acting performances were great. Mm-hmm. I think that the collaboration with Steven Spielberg and his longtime cinematographer, Janusz Kaminski, is on full display here. I mean, these guys are of one mind when they're making a movie. And look, if you wanted something else, I don't know what to tell you. but this is Spielberg, and he's adapting a theme he knows to the modern day.
Yes,
and if you're very in tune with him as a filmmaker, you know that he is not shy about saying things with what he makes. And Disclosure Day definitely puts that on full display as well. So
totally
highly
agree.
Recommend that one as well.
With blockbuster Blake Stubbs. And Blake, we have lost a guy who gave us some fabulous shows. Tell us about James Burrows.
All right. So James Burrows, want to talk about a legend in the television industry. He's known as the master of multi-camera television. He passed away at the age of 85 sometime Friday among family and friends after a brief illness. But the long and short about James Burrows is that if you're listening right now, you may not know that name. But let me tell you, you definitely know his work. This man won 11 Emmys. He directed over 1,000 episodes of television, which I also want to point out, he was still directing television at 84 just last year. He directed the entire 10-episode run of Mid-Century Modern, which starred Nathan Lane. A short-lived sitcom that got great reviews, but just did not maintain enough of a hold to continue on for a full, longer season. However, he had big impacts on shows like The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Friends, Will and Grace, Frasier, directed for over 50 years. And one of the things that he is most known for was embracing and even probably being one of the most early adopters of the fourth camera on a sitcom set, which for him came with Taxi, because the set that they had built for Taxi was so large that they needed to improve coverage in order to keep the shoots efficient. So he said, get us a fourth camera, and away they went. And that became a standard practice across pretty much every sitcom for the next almost 50 years. And it's safe to say that, again, if you had a favorite sitcom since 1975, James Burrows probably directed or helped create it. And the main one, which I think goes without saying, is Cheers. Cheers, he was a co-creator of. The show ran for 270 episodes, and he directed 236 of them.
Wow.
This is a legend beyond legends. This is the guy who pretty much shaped primetime sitcom television as we know it. Leaves behind an immense legacy, has worked with everybody, has probably shaped some show that you loved here and there. But there's a lot of tributes going out from people who worked with him for many years, so on and so forth. So again, you might not have known his name when he was alive, because you just don't pay attention to who the director of a show is or who the co-creator is. But let me tell you, you've definitely seen his work. And so, yes, we have truly lost a legend.
And he really catapulted Ted Danson to fame, because Ted Danson is in everything now, and I'm still enjoying him, aren't you?
Yes, and it's my understanding that, you know, they did not only work on Cheers. I mean, this is a relationship, you know, and this is the kind of guy he was. I mean, there are actors, actresses, et cetera, who have just talked about how he shaped everything about their career. This was one of those guys that just knew it. And it's not just because he knew it, it's because he pretty much created it. So, I mean, this is one of those. We've really lost somebody that I think it goes without saying is a foundational member of what we come to understand about sitcom television.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. A sad loss. And the final season of one of my favorite shows of all time, The Bear, will be airing later this month. And I highly I may rewatch the first season. I may rewatch all of it and get ready for it. I did, of course, see the prequel called Gary, which is thrown in there. You cannot search The Bear. It will not come up. You have to look at G-A-R-Y for Gary, Indiana. It kind of sets up what we're going to see this final season, right, Blake?
I believe it does. It has a lot of connective. It's like a connective tissue episode. It's something that brings, you know, characters we know and characters who are no longer, you know, alive in the context of the show, but have been woven into the fabric of it throughout its entirety, having a sort of a one-off episode for themselves, which is it stars Eben Moss Bacharach and John Barenthal, who, you know, recently have just been doing Broadway together in an adaptation of Dog Day Afternoon. They were able to shoot this like one-off episode as sort of a prequel to kind of get audiences ready for the final season of The Bear. And truth be told, Wendy, I have not had a chance to watch it yet. I actually have it queued up to watch the night before this this final season debuts, because I want to be ready. I mean, I'm a Bear fanatic.
Yeah.
I know what's happened prior to, but I thought, if I just leave that for myself like late Wednesday night, I think I'm going to be ready for Thursday. So here's all the real details. The entire 8-episode final season will drop Thursday. It'll be available all in its entirety on Hulu and Disney Plus around 8 Central. So if you're a Bear fanatic and you really want to get in and start binging, you will be able to at 8 p.m. Central. The big focus, obviously, and I don't want to spoil too much if we have people out there who are catching up or trying to get there, is that essentially there was a big departure from the restaurant, the central restaurant of the show at the end of the 4th season. And this final season will deal with that, but that character will still remain the central focus, and that is Carmy, played by Jeremy Allen White, a.k.a. the Bear himself.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, is that if you've never watched The Bear and you're curious to get into it because you just keep hearing people talk about it, know first off that this show is a true love letter to the city of Chicago. Secondly, for me, and this is mostly me talking, but I know I'm not, you know, alone on this island, this is a show heralded for its high-stress viewing. I mean,
yeah,
it's
going
to put you through the paces. I know people who won't watch it because of how high-stress some of the viewing can be,
yep,
based on what they've heard. It has superb acting. We have Emmy winners galore in this show. I think the writing has always been sharp. I also think it's been a bit audacious in a way that I really grafted onto. Like, I wanted to see more of this show from day one. It has fantastic editing and cinematography. It's brilliantly directed, and it's going to have names you recognize, and people are going to show up in this show, and you're going to laugh for a second, and then you're going to lock right in to see what they're up to. TV will be losing what I think is one of its great shows with this
final season.
But this is a season, and they've been saying it in every clipping I've seen, they are aiming for true resolution.
Good.
Which is something a lot of shows do not get to do because their popularity just makes them stay on the air too long. This show is beginning and it's ending, and it'll be a bit emotional for audience members and fans, but I'm looking forward to it just because I love these characters and I want to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm with you. So Thursday, Hulu and Disney Plus, 8 p.m., and you will love Gary. I loved it so much. So that little prequel to set up the final season of The Bear. Blake, thanks so much for chatting with us today. So nice to talk to you again.
Always a pleasure, Wendy. Thank you.
Yes, Blockbuster Blake Stubbs.